All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our 99th episode of Blowback, Exposing Imperial Decline. I'm Billy Bob on the West Coast, and I've got my regular co-hosts, Ben Toth from Page Hungry, Ian Kummer from a suburb in Moscow, and Carlo Parcelli on his deathbed in Washington, D.C. Jeff Brown is our special guest today. He is coming from Normandy, France. And the title of our episode is The Trump Shooting Hoax with a question mark. Now, Jeff Brown has prepared a lengthy PowerPoint presentation that he's going to share with us regarding, this assassination attempt. And let me just say, I mean, this assassination attempt a couple weeks ago was a milestone in American history, in world history, really. And there's all kinds of opinions, perceptions, thoughts about that event. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to go into great detail on today's episode.
But, and we might not all agree, but it's fine. We should just discuss it, I think.
Yeah, I expect, there is quite a diversity of opinion regarding this event at the moment. There's probably a lot of different thoughts and understandings and ways to, understand it, really. So do we want to just go right into the first slide, Jeff, or you wanna say anything to introduce it?
I'd like to do a little bit of an introduction, if you don't mind. Can I have a couple of minutes, please?
Please,
sure thing.
Please.
That is my awakening at 56 years of age was when I saw the World Trade Center skyscraper number 7. Collapsing and free fall. And that happened to me when I was in 2010, after we moved back to China the second time. And as a certified U.S. science school teacher, I knew that was physically impossible. And I started my long journey into false flags and hoaxes. And it inspired my second book, China Rising. The first 100 pages, I didn't spend tens of hours, hundreds of hours investigating 9/11, the Boston Marathon bombing, Bataclan in Paris, Nice, and then Charlie Hebdo in Paris, and I convincingly showed that those were all false flags. Those were all government orchestrated terrorist attacks. And so I got that rabbit hole, and this is the first time I've really gotten back into it. So I have a lot of experience in understanding false flags and hoaxes, and so that's why when I saw it, and I looked at all the film footage of, and as you say, Billy Bob, it is so earth-shaking, and its implications, and for not only the United States but for the rest of the world, as Ben nodded and concurred. So that's why I started looking into it, and people were sending me stuff, and I get a lot of comments from people, so I told you about it, and I thought it was worth going through and showing you all what, in my opinion, is one of the most brilliant hoaxes ever pulled off in since the moon landings.
I was just about to ask, have we been to the moon? But thank you for answering.
No, we have not. So I'm not just some punk guy who's, I have done hundreds of hours of research on this. So I've had a lot of experience. So
you want to talk a little bit about the foundation?
Truth from Facts. I created Street Truth from Facts Foundation for the China Writers Group, which Billy Bob is a member of. And it's a nonprofit, and I did it as a platform for people like Billy Bob and 25 or almost 30 other writers. And it's just a way for some of the, I think it's the best group of, and I also publish, we also publish Ben's weekly outline, you know, bullet point outline. So I think it's the best group of writers on the internet anywhere in terms of geopolitics, the global zeitgeist, et cetera. So that's why I did it. And so I'm the founder, and I manage the Substack. I manage the Substack platform, and the Seek Christian Facts, where all the some of the articles go, like Ben's and Billy's. I include Billy in the title because he's with China Writers Group, so. And so that Ben's outline goes on Seek Truth from Facts, and it's just it's really brilliant. There's over 11,000 people who follow it on Substack, so it's very popular, and I think it's got a good reputation.
Cool. Thank you.
So this PowerPoint presentation we're gonna also upload on the Substack, I presume, and so we'll get a pretty wide wide audience. Do we want to start, Ben?
If you want to start, I'll just let the users know there was some technical issues because this couldn't just be uploaded to StreamYard. It's too large for that. And the next slide is a video which will begin without sound, but then I have to go back and start it again with sound. So just bear with me a second. So can we go to slide one? Go? Okay.
Yeah. How much? It's a 7-minute video. How much of it are we going to watch?
Well, I think we should watch the whole thing. I think it's really important.
Okay, let's do it.
Now I just need to go back to the beginning because this Chrome is an absolute crime against humanity.
At my rally on Saturday. Let me begin this evening by expressing my gratitude to the American people.
That's max volume, unfortunately.
For your outpouring of love and support following the assassination attempt.
Well, are there moments in the 7 minutes that are important? Sound bites.
What he says. Well, listen to what he says, and I think in just listen to what he says. It's amazing.
So many people have asked me what happened. Tell us what happened, please. And therefore, I will tell you exactly what happened, and you'll never hear it from me a second time because it's actually too painful to tell. It was a warm, beautiful day in the early evening in Butler Township in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Music was loudly playing and the campaign was doing really well. I went to the stage and the crowd was cheering wildly. Everybody was happy. I began speaking very strongly, powerfully, and happily.
Typical Trump.
Because I was discussing the great job my administration did on immigration at the southern border. We were very proud of it. Behind me and to the right was a large screen that was displaying a chart of border crossings under my leadership. The numbers were absolutely amazing. In order to see the chart, I started to, like this, turn to my right and was ready to begin a little bit further turn, which I'm very lucky I didn't do, when I heard a loud whizzing sound and felt something hit me really, really hard on my right ear. I said to myself, wow, what was that? It can only be a bullet. and moved my right hand to my ear, brought it down. My hand was covered with blood, just absolutely blood all over the place. I immediately knew it was very serious, that we were under attack, and in one movement proceeded to drop to the ground. Bullets were continuing to fly as very brave Secret Service agents rushed to the stage, and they really did, they rushed to the stage. These are great people at great risk, I will tell you, and pounced on top of me so that I would be protected. There was blood pouring everywhere, and yet, in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side. I felt that. The amazing thing is that prior to the shot, if I had not moved my head at that very last instant, the assassin's bullet would have perfectly hit its mark, and I would not be here tonight, not be together. The most incredible aspect of what took place on that terrible evening in the fading sun was actually seen later. In almost all cases, as you probably know, and when even a single bullet is fired, just a single bullet, and we had many bullets that were being fired, crowds run for the exits or stampede, but not in this case. Very unusual. This massive crowd of tens of thousands of people stood by and didn't move an inch. In fact, many of them bravely but automatically stood up looking for where the sniper would be. They knew immediately it was a sniper. And then began pointing at him. You can see that if you look at the group behind me. That was just a small group compared to what was in front. Nobody ran, and by not stampeding, many lives were saved. But that isn't the reason that they didn't move. The reason is that they knew I was in very serious trouble. They saw it. They saw me go down. They saw the blood and thought, actually, most did, that I was dead. They knew it was a shot to the head. They saw the blood. And there's an interesting statistic. The ears are the bloodiest part. Something happens with the ears. They bleed more than any other part of the body. For whatever reason, the doctors told me that. And I said, why is there so much blood? He said, it's the ears. They bleed more. So we learned something, but they just, this beautiful crowd, they didn't want to leave me. They knew I was in trouble. They didn't want to leave me. And you can see that love written all over their faces. Incredible people. They're incredible people. Bullets were flying over us, yet I felt serene. But now the Secret Service agents were putting themselves in peril. They were in very dangerous territory. Bullets were flying right over them, missing them by a very small amount of inches. And then it all stopped. Our Secret Service sniper, from a much greater distance and with only one bullet used, took the assassin's life, took him out. I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. Yeah.
Are they chanting, yes, you are?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yes, you are, yes.
Okay, got it.
Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God. Let me begin this evening by expressing my.
Oh, yes, you can, it loops.
Okay.
So anyway, any comments from the my esteemed colleagues? That, by the way, that was his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention. Several days later, the shooting event was on the 13th, and I think the Republican National Convention was something like the 16th to the 19th or the 19th to the 20th, something like that, less than a week later.
Yeah.
It seemed like classic Trump. Yeah, I mean, classic Trump, you know, a real melodramatic retelling. It was a beautiful summer day.
Yeah, I just say he knows how to control a crowd. He can use any event to this kind of effect, and he did it well. That's my thought, too.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
What about you, Jeff?
Well, it's classic Trump, you know, and unfortunately, he's almost everything he said is not true, which we'll see. But that fits the mold, though.
That fits.
Do you want me to bring this back?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went back and took notes, and here's what he said. He said something hit me really, really hard. And be thinking about all this as we look at the rest. My hand was covered in blood. Number three, blood was all over the place. Number four, bullets were continuing to fly. Five, there was blood pouring everywhere. Six, near death if I had not turned my head just an inch. Number seven, this massive crowd of tens of thousands didn't move. Number eight, they stood up to look for the sniper pointing at him. Number nine, nobody ran, nobody stampeded. They didn't move because they knew I was in very serious trouble. Number 10, they saw all the blood and thought I was dead, didn't want to leave me with love all over their faces. And then number 11, doctors told me ears bleed more than any other part of the body. So those were the highlights, and we'll be referring back to these topics. So we if anybody, unless someone has a comment, we can go on. So these are the money shots. This shows the supposed photograph of the bullet being caught in mid flight and him hitting his ear, and starting to go down. And of course, this was the money shot number two, the iconic Donald Trump with the American flag, you know, flying behind him in a crystal blue sky. And this, of course, was one of the reasons that, in my opinion, the hoax was perpetrated, was to get photographs like this that have now gone around the world. And within minutes of the event, the Chinese were already selling T-shirts online of this photograph and others. Next.
By the way, the Russians fell in love with him too. They printed posters saying Russians don't surrender with that epic photo.
Oh, that's good. One of his comments, my hand was covered with blood. And really? Because you can sit there and see, this was after he slapped his ear with his right hand. Of course, we can't see the supposed wound behind him with where the bullet supposedly hit his ear. But he pulls his hand away to look at his hand, and there's no blood. There's
it's a 4-pixel photo. Do we have a better photo?
Okay, next photo. Bloodless hand. So
he already has it on his face. Yeah.
Yes.
That's actually lipstick. He smeared the lipstick.
Sorry. Yeah, there you go. It's lipstick.
So the point is, I think what happened is, and the reason those two traces are on his face, he had a squib behind his ear, and a squib is what actors use to you know, they hit themselves or they hit their heart, you know, for like cowboys to have a blood stain on their chest when somebody, you know, supposedly shoots them or whatever. So I think the squib, you know, probably squirted those two squirts on his face. But you can see his hand has no blood. All right, that's not a 4-pixel photo. That is no blood. All right.
I agree with you on no blood. Next.
Yeah.
No blood. Next.
Okay. It's not squirting all over the. Did you freeze or shall I go on or are you contemplating? Oh, no. Has Jeff frozen? Jeff?
Yeah, seems like it. His audio was going in and out. Hopefully he'll pop right back in. But,
damn.
Yeah, now I do want to point out since
someone died here, you know, I was thinking that's true, but
yes.
Like, you could see when Trump was on his, when he went to the ground, his head was down and his face was facing the ground. And that's, I think, when the drops of blood from his ear made those marks. But
true, he up this way. Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to, what should we maybe kick him and bring him back on? He's not coming back. No,
I can click remove, but I don't know how to bring him back in. Do you know? Sorry, everyone.
I think he might.
We have a second Jeff Brown in the. Okay, I'll remove the original and add you to the stage. You seem to be back.
Yeah, I'm back now. Is this the next one?
No, we didn't move on while you were gone. So we went from the hands to the face.
Again, you can see. Is this the one after that shows his hand with the?
This is right after the hands. Yes.
Okay, and so blood was everywhere, pouring all over the place. Well, that's not true. For someone who supposedly had the top of his ear blown off, that is not real. That is fake blood. And again, with the two traces, you know. When he slapped his head like that, the squib exploded and shot those two, you know, put some blood around his ear, and then the those two things came out. The squib was probably designed so that most of it would come out the top, and then it had like a little injector at the other end. And you can see that in the film we're going to see later. He slaps his hand on his head. So there's no blood. There's literally no blood. Blood pouring all over the place. Wounds bleed until pressed or clot, taking several minutes to stop. In fact, even a minor cut on your finger or whatever takes 2 minutes to clot. And for something what he was talking about, since nobody was covering his ear or anything, nobody was trying to stop the bleeding because there wasn't any bleeding. It would take at least 8 minutes for that wound to stop bleeding, and he literally should have been bleeding like a stuck pig. We'll get into the ears later. The scant amount of blood on Trump did not change, and this is another thing. From the moment they let him up, you know, of course they let him up, you know, to do the fight. Yeah, that's what this whole hoax is all about, is, you know, to get these shots and to get these images into the minds of the people of the world. That the bleeding on the supposed bleeding on his ear did not change from the entire time they let him up, you know, to give the Statue of Liberty, you know, pose, and all the way down to the car, 30 meters away, absolutely zero change in bleeding. There was no blood.
Okay, you have all a right? point. A theory on blood. I'm unconvinced by the hand and Trump's hyperbole, but probably you want to make your case further, and that's what you're here to do. So let me know.
All right, next. Trump's doctors told him ears bleed more than any other part of the body. Again, we'll see in a minute what his doctor said actually was supposed to have happened to him. Again, if even a minor cut, you know, on your earlobe, you are going to bleed like a freaking stuck pig. And he didn't bleed at all. So that's fake. Next. And the bullet that supposedly hit him, this kid that supposedly shot at him, he supposedly went and bought 50 NATO 556 millimeter high powered shells a few days before the shooting event. And as you can see, the bullet itself is 5.56 millimeters thick, you know, in diameter, which for Americans is it's a 223. It's a 0.223 inches. So it's about a quarter of an inch. The bullet's only a quarter of an inch. But look at how much gunpowder is in each one of those shells. So these are meant to kill people, and if your ear was hit by one of these bullets, it would have literally blown half of the ear off. But so that's what supposedly hit him. This was not supposedly an air gun, you know, an air gun. These were NATO bullets that supposedly hit him. So next. So this is supposedly where Trump was hit. You can see there's actually an artery from the carotid that comes straight from the heart. And that's vein, that artery that comes down right here in front of your ear right here is literally one. It comes directly off the carotid artery, which comes directly, you know, off the heart. So
it's
that's
pumping
why
like crazy. Yeah.
It's pumping like crazy. And he supposedly got hit where that circle is. And if it had have been really hit, he would have been literally covered with blood. Next. So he didn't get hit. He didn't get hit. Go, next. Here's what the doctor said. This is his doctor. The doctor said it produced a 2 centimeter wide wound. Everybody put up your hand and estimate two centimeters is 3/4 of an inch for all of you Americans out there. He supposedly had a wound that is 3/4 of an inch wide in his ear. Okay, that's a big wound in your ear. I mean, your ear is only, you know, three or so centimeters. You know, why, maybe 4, you know, if you know, but so he's saying that the wound hole was half the size of the top of his ear. And of course, this is all for the memes. And, you know, he took a bullet for democracy, etc. So that's what his doctor officially said after the supposed shooting. That's a big, big wound in the ear. Next. There's a guy, by the way, I would like to thank a guy named Ole Damegaard. And I think I'm not going to subscribe to him because that's all he does is false flags and hoaxes. But I got several of these images from him. And one of my fans sent me, she subscribes to him. And she sent me the link to his video that he did on this. He's a real specialist in false flags and hoaxes. So I got this image from him. This was actually a film. This was actually a film, a little film clip in his expose that this is a person's head that is what police use.
Yeah, it's, you know, these ballistic dummies are very accurate to how.
Yeah, the hair is actually almost spot on.
Yeah, it's orange, and so this was actually somebody who shot a bullet through this dummy's ear, and you can see it ripped the ear a gigantic hole in his ear. And I couldn't do the whole video, but actually at the end, the whole ear is just completely shredded. If Trump had been hit that way, it would have ripped off the top of his ear. The AR-15 assault rifle, America's favorite gun, has a muzzle velocity of 3,300 feet per second. That's 1 kilometer a second. And so he obviously did not get hit by one of those 556 NATO bullets because there would have been literally nothing left of his ear. Trump's 2 centimeter wide ear wound on July 14th. Here's a picture of him when he went to Michigan. And the next day, look at his ear. There's nothing. It's healed. It's perfectly okay. He has a Band-Aid on it.
By the way, since this event, has he gone uncovered? As in, is the ear still covered in his recent campaign events, or is it uncovered?
Well, he left it covered until the end of the until he gave that terrific speech at the Republican National Convention. Isn't that hilarious? Okay. That's the next day, and this is of course when he announced Vance, you know, the senator from Ohio to be. That's the senator from Ohio on the right with the beard. So anyway, there you go. And somebody typed in that he got nicked. No, the doctor said he had a two centimeter wide ear wound in his ear.
Even boastful statements from Trump and the doctor don't really. But sorry.
Well, I don't know if one precludes.
Yeah,
the other.
Can mean a lot of a 2 centimeter wide. I mean, that could mean it could be a cut. I mean, you don't know.
If it grazed the top of his ear for 2 centimeters, it still would. You know.
And actually, I just uploaded a photo, Ben. If you want to look at that.
Where did you put it? In the private chat.
In the private chat. Yes, this is.
Unfortunately,
even if he got grazed, it would have bled like a stuck pig.
Well, the thing is, there are no.
Just put it on
major...
screen like that for now because it has to cover the PowerPoint.
Yeah, there are. So, you know, the projectile in a 5.56, you know, because it's not shooting that whole cartridge. It's actually the same size as the .22 rimfire. Those little sports rifles. It's actually the same caliber. What the difference is the velocity because it has a much larger charge. So it's not necessarily going. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know what it looks like when it hits an ear, but it is known for being very fast. So it can just go in one side and out the other without taking anything with it, like a larger and slower projectile would, like the. Like the ball munitions for, you know, black powder rifles. Those can cause way more damage. The reason why is because they're slower and they're larger. But it's not a large projectile, and it's not a large bullet. And there's also no major blood vessels in the ear either. I mean, yes, there are in your head. So wounds to your head, if you hit yourself on the head, in the scalp, in the ear, you know, I mean, there is going to be soup, but it's going to look very bloody, but it's not... It's not going to bleed a lot because there's no major blood vessels in your ear. There just aren't.
Thor was talking about Thor's probably some kind of a mixed martial artist if he has cauliflower ear, or maybe a wrestler because they get the same thing.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, his doesn't bleed too much. But I mean, you know, the lower earlobe obviously probably won't bleed much at all. I mean, up here it'll probably bleed more. But it's hard to just say that, right? It's hard to just say that, hey, we know with certainty that if he was hit with that bullet, there would have been more blood. Like, that's an opinion. It's a tough thing to prove.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the thing about the hand, I mean, yeah, it's true. I mean, that is true. You know, you saw his hand afterwards. My question is, if it's a squib, if it's a false flag, if it's a squib behind his ear, then why would that produce less blood? Why would that? I mean, the problem with saying there wasn't any on his hands, well, that doesn't prove it was a squib. All that proves is there was no blood on his hands.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because if there's a squib, well, okay, he slaps his head, he slaps the squib. I mean, then there would be, you know, there would be blood on his hands if he slaps the squib.
Yeah.
But we're only not yet halfway through the presentation. So, Jeff, just let me know if we can speed
keep
up.
Going
now.
This massive crowd of tens of thousands, he said, here is Trump's Butler rally in 2020. He was in Butler, Pennsylvania, the day, the night before the election, or the day or two before the election. And so that is a rally of tens of thousands 4 years ago. And there it is again in 2020. He was in Butler, not at the stage set where they did the hoax, but the stage set. But this was at the airport or in the town. That's the kind of crowd that Trump can easily draw.
He got the year wrong. So what? He got the year wrong. That's it.
Okay. I'm guessing the next picture will be 2024, meaning comparison.
Yeah, exactly. And so here's the Butler rally site on July 14th. This was actually the next day. And it looks like a movie set.
Afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, it was very cleverly done. There were no aerial shots allowed. You cannot find an aerial photo, no drones, no nothing for the actual on the 13th. I should have changed this to the 14th. I'm sorry, it's my mistake. But you can see that looks like a stage set for, you know, Shakespeare summer plays. I mean, that's hundreds of people, not hundreds, tens of thousands. That's not even thousands of people. It's a few hundred people. You can see can I use my mouse? Oh, I guess I can't use my mouse. But you can see the stage there in the middle.
You can use mine. There's the stage.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's the stage right there. There was his podium. There were the two other stands to the left and to the right with the screens on top that he was showing.
This is where a man
slides.
Got killed.
Yes.
No, supposedly.
So how does this, not to cut you off, but how does this prove or disprove that he was shot? What does this prove?
Why would Donald Trump go to a small farm in the countryside of Pennsylvania and have a rally of only a few hundred people? Why?
Okay, so it's a controlled set light environment.
It's a controlled set. Now you can see over on the left-hand side that group of buildings, supposedly the shooter, it was on that building there. And then the snipers were on the two white barns, the two white roof red barns behind.
That's a very dangerously sloped roof.
According to the Secret Service, yes.
And so this is a stage set. This is a stage set. This is not a rally. This was a controlled movie set to get the images and the impressions that they wanted. Trump can fill Yankee Stadium. Why would he? Trump can fill, you know, the Stade de France you know, the big stadium in Paris, you know, and I'm sure Russia has one that has 100,000. He can fill those all day long. Why did he set this thing up with a few hundred people? Next.
All right.
If you think that it, by the way, I'd like to also thank old Damagard. The next two slides I got from him. You can actually hire crowds on demand. This company is called Crowds on Demand.
This is so American.
And you can, if you want Antifa versus Black Lives Matter, you got it. you want LGBT versus, you know, militant Catholics.
Proud Boys or something. Yeah.
Yeah, the Proud Boys. You got it. They can do anything you want. They can have any kind of crowd you want, crisis actors, etc. So if anybody says, well, then how do they find all those people? Well, you just pay them. These are actors.
Hey, yeah, a viewer wants to just clarify that you are agreeing that the Secret Service was in on the hoax to get this PR shot, right?
Well, I don't even think this. Those people around Trump were not Secret Service. They were crisis actors.
Okay.
The Secret Service.
They were not even I don't even think the Secret Service was there. This was a Trump get. And I want everybody out at the audience to know, I voted for Donald Trump in 2016. I voted for Donald Trump in 2020. And I will vote for him in November. Not because I love the guy, but because he's not as bad as the Democrats. And I'm a registered Democrat in Oklahoma. So
that's a great point, Jeff, because most people would assume that you're a TDSer, you know, have
no,
Trump derangement syndrome.
I'm not.
So that's a great point.
He did a lot of good things. He actually helped the poor.
Well, now you're going to get Carla mad, so you better just move off that topic.
But I don't dislike the guy. He's a demagogue. He is
Keggy's my perfect middle ground.
And he is a consummate actor, and he pulled off the greatest hoax of this century so far. So anyway, they'll do anything. Next one,
so
you know, audiences,
part two of
corporate
the same
events, fan displays. This is, you know, they will do anything. Now there are actually, if you look up in the upper right-hand corner, Swedish crisis
amputees.
Actors. You can, yeah,
I was reading the
amps.
Word amputees.
Action amps. The guy, the famous photo of the guy in the wheelchair at the Boston bombing, where it showed the bone sticking. I showed how this was absolutely impossible, but the bone was sticking out of his knee when he was. And it was covered in blood. He was an action amp. And
reminds
so
me of
the
white helmets in Syria. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, exactly. So you can hire crisis actors. You can hire injured people. You can hire amputees. They're all there available to be to work for you. Next, why again? Here's another. Why such a minuscule rally site except to control the hoax? I mean, this is. Look at the size of that thing. I mean, you know, we could probably get together and get a band together and get more people than that. That's just ridiculous.
Katie, I don't even know what Aaron Bra is. Sorry, that was just an audience question.
What Aaron Bra?
I don't even know what this is. I try to put it on screen. I don't know what that is.
Oh, this is the same site. It's just another view. It's just the stage. There's the two guys in the back where the snipers were. The snipers off to the left. It's just another one, just to reinforce the fact that this is a stage set. This is not a rally. This is a stage set.
You've made your point. It's a controlled. It reminds you of a controlled stage set. Shall we
exactly.
go?
Exactly. Next.
Oh, I'm guessing this is something.
Yeah, this is about a two. This I want everybody to focus on the audience in the background and just see how they act.
I don't know what I can do here because nothing. It doesn't seem.
No, it should work.
Exit presentation mode, but I don't know what will happen. Shall I do that? Because nothing.
Try that. Yeah. If not, I can.
What slide is that? The slide
24. And blah, blah, blah. Fuck off, Microsoft. It just won't. Yeah, it might have been deleted.
Okay, well, let me open up my PowerPoint, and it's which one? 24.
You want to take yours off, Ben?
I can remove it from the stage, of course.
Can you see my screen now?
No, you haven't added it to the.
Oh, I can add share. It here.
Oh yeah, there. Cool. Good for you. No, this is my screen, dude.
Oh, that was my screen, I think. Where's? Let me try and do slide 27.
Is it vital? This
or 24? Yeah, I can't play that slide. I can't play the video on that slide. If you tell me what it is, I can maybe find it on YouTube.
No. I mean, I've got it right here. Anyway, what's going on is it shows step by step what's going on. And I say here is a short video of the event. Notice the non-actors away from the stage fleeing. So I just wanted to point out there were obviously the controlled group was around the stage, but there were obviously some locals who were later interviewed, et cetera.
Well, we have some stills afterwards. Yep.
And those were the guys that were saying, look, we see the guy up on the roof, et cetera. Those guys were probably not crisis actors. Those were actually locals who got in, but were not allowed to get into the controlled stage area. They were kept away and out on the edge, on the perimeter, and below where the shooter was supposedly on top of that building. That's where they were. And what's really interesting is those non-actors, when they realized that they thought that they saw someone on top of the building with a gun, they all started running and fleeing. Okay. And I want to, this is a very, very critical. These are normal people who think they're going to could get killed, and they run and get away, and it actually shows them running away from the potential shooting sites. That's all I just wanted to show you.
Okay,
it's unfortunate that we can't play it.
That's anymore. All right. Trump claims the fans didn't move because they thought he was in trouble, maybe dead. 8 shots were supposedly fired into the crowd. Is this how you would act? And if you this is how crisis actors act. They act robotically, and they're just sitting there. Bullets are flying. Trump is down, and they're just looking. They're just checking things out. There's a guy up there in the upper right hand corner taking a photograph with his phone. No one's moving. Everybody needs to be in their place so that they've got the backdrop of the people behind Trump who's down. Those are crisis actors. This is what happens during false flags.
There are a lot of different ways people react.
I was going to say, I don't know how I would react.
Yes. So there can be running away, especially if someone next to you runs away. There's a tendency for people to copy what they see others doing. It is very normal for people to just freeze when.
And the whole event probably took like 10 seconds and all 8 shots were fired and it was done. That was it.
Oh, yes. Actually, that's true. One time I saw someone come very close to death. It was an accident on a canoe trip, and the guy just clacked and went underwater. I completely froze. I didn't do anything. I was just frozen in the ground. Yeah, other people went to help. That's when I discovered how I would react. So just a small anecdote.
Yeah, it seems like the argument here is that they were paid actors, which is why they were bad at acting. I mean, when's the crime?
No, they're not bad at acting. They were paid to stay in their seats and to be the backdrop for the hoax supposed shooting.
This is very evidence free so far. It's Alex Jonesy, if you forgive me for saying that.
Yes,
that's fine.
Okay. Jeff, you're not persuading them, but we can continue.
I just want to point out the normal when your adrenaline is flowing, you flee if you think you're going to get shot or killed.
That's
or whatever.
Not true. That's not true. And
Carlo seems to have a counterpoint as well.
I have a question.
Oh, question.
Yeah.
Were they the paid actors? Were they in on it,
or were they
dummies?
No, they were. That's a paid crowd.
But for to take live ammunition, two of them seriously wounded, and one died.
I can tell you the two people that were supposedly injured and the guy that supposedly died are what the CIA and Mossad and those people called. They call them legends. They create these people. They create avatars for situations like this. They do this all the time. Those guys, I can almost promise you, do not exist. No one died. No one got. I'm sorry there was no you can't see that. Oh, look, there's a guy over here shot. That guy was told to do that to cement in your mind that that guy got shot. Try to find that guy that got shot. Yeah. Try to find him on the internet.
Let's get people found his Twitter.
I found him, the firefighter. Yeah.
Try to find out where he was a firefighter. See how far back he goes. You won't find him.
I mean, did you? I mean, because people have been arguing about his Twitter.
I don't have to.
He was very vocal. People were arguing because he was a typical Trump supporter. He was anti-Ukraine. He was pro-Israel. People have been arguing about his going through that. I mean, I wouldn't say I think it's morally questionable because the dude died, but I mean, he does have a social media history. So I mean,
which they create, which the CIA and the FBI and Mossad can create they can create electric bills. They can create house deeds. They can create job histories. They can create all of that. They do it all day long. That's what they do.
I'm keeping an open mind.
PowerPoints.
Yeah. All right. Keeping an open mind and hearing you out, but let's just power through the PowerPoints, if we may. Yes. Hoping there will be maybe more, less evidence-free in the second half. Shall I move on?
Next.
Yeah.
Again, here's a supposedly a Secret Service guy on the ground with two people down there, and he's like protecting them and everything. Look at the people behind him. They're just watching. And then the guy behind the speaker, in the upper right hand corner, he's just chilling. You know, he's just chilling. Nobody's moving. Nobody's doing anything. Nobody's showing any excitement.
Any event in the world can be explained away with this recipe, which is it's uncomfortable for me. Moving on.
Okay. Okay.
Is this a video again? Okay, no, this one looks like it will play.
Okay. Our country, probably 20 million people. And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old.
Come on, where's the...
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Okay, there's the shot.
So yeah, no, they've got me sold that's a spontaneous thing. You know, assessment of that. That seems really spontaneous. You know, they don't know what's going on. Is he dead? And everything's done right now. There's not any more shots they're going to be firing out. Everything's done. It took about 10 seconds.
There were supposed to be 8 shots fired.
I would be looking left, right, up, and down, saying, "What the hell is going on?"
Rapid succession, though. Like, okay. But I mean, you know, we
that's
don't need
not
to
the way
debate.
That's not the way it happens in real life. But
in real life, tell me what happens in real life.
In a situation,
I'm just
going to
give you a clue. I'm just going, Jeff. Before you answer, I'm just going to give you a clue. I've seen people get shot at, so please.
I have.
Think your answer carefully and tell me what you think happens in real life.
The panic. That's what happens. Panic, and in a crowd situation like that, people would be flying all over the place. Why did the non-actors run away from the supposed shooter who were off the set?
Well, who do you
why
know
did they run
non-actor
away when they thought they were going to get hit?
I continue to hear you out, but shall we
move on? Yes, move on.
Okay.
The other impossible shot is this infamous bullet photo that supposedly caught the bullet that supposedly hit his ear and the et cetera. Go ahead. I did some research. Doug Mills is a Pulitzer Prize winner. He's the one that supposedly took this. Says that he used a standard digital camera. Mr. Mill, and again, I'd like to thank Old Amigar because he found this. Doug Mills said he caught that photo using a Sony digital camera capable of capturing images at up to 30 frames per second. That's burst photo or 30 frames a second. That's for, he took these photos with a shutter speed of 1/8000th of a second, extremely fast by industry standards. But that's still not good enough, because if you go to the next slide, the only commercial camera available today that can catch a bullet in midair is the Nikon Z9. And you have to set the ISO to 25,600, which no other camera has. Can most of us shoot 64, you know, maximum of 400. You have to set the ISO to 25,600. And the only way to catch a bullet in midair is 1/32,000th of a second, not 8,000th of a second. So that photo is not possible. That is a doctored photo.
Okay.
No.
I mean, even without burst mode, you can have extreme luck just to shoot at exactly the same time when the bullet traveled that however many, like a meter during
but a bullet cannot be caught at 1/8000th of a second. It's impossible. And that's the Pulitzer Prize winner who said that's what he did.
Okay. Well, we don't have to dwell on that particular issue, but that's a good point.
I'll give you a maybe.
And then, you know, like for Americans, you know, Lassie with the near-death experiences, you know, when he was, I was almost, you know, this is all, again, building up the assassination, the shooting cult, et cetera. He was almost hit, you know. It's impossible to overstate how much of a miracle we experienced. These are all, of course, this is for the Trump base, you know. Near-death experiences get everybody's emotions all fired up. So he had to have a near-death experience. Next. And so this is what this was all about. Of course, no Secret Service men or women would ever let a protected person rise up like he did in a perfect pose to give the fist and say, fight, fight, fight. The CIA, that's not negligence. That is, those were not Secret Service agents. That was all a very carefully plotted and practiced pose, you know, to make him like, you know, to deify Trump and to make him, you know, the great hero. And then they got him up. Then they got him up, you know, within a few seconds. They would never do that because how many shooters are there? They don't know how many shooters there are. You keep him on the ground, you flatten him like a pancake, and you stay there as long as you need to until the coast is clear. They let him up seconds later, you know, with a tiny with some fake blood on his ear, no blood on his hand, and you're going, you know, fight, fight, fight. What a miracle. And here's another one, you know, Iwo Jima. You know, these are iconic photos to cement in the people's mind that you know, Trump is our savior. Next.
I agree that it's iconic. Next.
I want to point out, this is my, I just looked at it. This is my Canon 7D. It's a 10-year-old camera, by the way. It doesn't even take SD cards. And if you can see it, that's 8,000 front, that's 8,000. Just pointing out, my camera can do that, and it's 10 years old. So,
but 8,000ths of a second will not capture a bullet. It has to be.
Yes, it will. Sorry.
Well, we may have gotten another freeze, anyway, unfortunately, at exactly the wrong moment. Yeah, I think Jeff froze.
So, but, you know, I want to get through the presentation, and then we can definitely have any kind of discussion after the fact. We don't have to.
Yeah, there's only five slides left. I was aiming for that too.
It's a matter of fact that we can check and see if, you know, an 8,000 frames per second, is that what it is, FPS?
I guess. Or,
I also don't know why. That know what blur. That looks like a double exposure.
So we got cut off.
Okay, we're back.
I didn't see the last minute. I don't know what happened, but. Anyway, if you check, you have to have a speed of 1/32,000th of a second to catch a bullet. That is a fact.
I didn't understand your point about the 25,000 ISO, which I
well because
slight sensitivity.
Yeah, because you in order to you reduce the quality of the picture to capture fast images.
That's not ISO is light sensitivity. It's not quality. It's light sensitivity.
And if you set it at 64, like for roses or flowers or whatever, then you're not going to catch the bullet. I looked this up, and I read an article, and they say here's how you capture a bullet 1/32,000th of a second, maximum ISO, and that's not possible. Anyway, again, you know, just he's the hero, he's our savior. Next, and then of course he's the Messiah, and this is the Messiah. He's down on the ground, you know. He's in pain. And then the next picture, what does that look like? Looks like Jesus, going down, you know, on his march, you know, with the cross.
Trump would correct you, and he would say Jesus looks like him.
Yes, yes.
But that shot is iconic. In fact, that shot was taken by Anna Moneymaker, and she is a Trump photographer. You know, and she miraculously catches Trump, you know, in all kinds of amazing situations. But anyway, and then the other Messiah is at the stage, people all over the social media, the conservative social media, there was a flag that was this supposedly accidentally, even though there was no wind, you know, was folded like this to look like an angel. And so people are saying that Trump was saved by the Holy Spirit. You know, he's been saved by God. He's our Messiah. Just again, this is all building up the cult of the
I mean, I can see the angel right there. That's his right wing facing us. So, I mean, you're just arguing with reality, Jeff.
As the only resident European, that just sounds like America to me, that entire story.
America.
Yeah. It looks like a crucifixion to me.
Well, anyway, the social media, the conservative social media, and again, you know, people were wearing, you know, patches on their ears, you know, to show their support for Trump. This is again building up the cult, you know, the cult.
I had mine.
So what this is all about is it's the apotheosis of Donald Trump, our savior, our Messiah, our hero. That's what it's all about.
All right. That's the conclusion.
In my conclusion is the shooting incident on July 13, 2024 was an obvious inside job with Donald Trump playing the leading role, who deserves an Oscar for best actor. You all don't believe me, but I think that's what happened. I don't think the only person who probably got killed was that poor kid. And if he hadn't been found to be in a BlackRock ad, he was actually in a BlackRock advertisement.
For pension funds or something. Training.
Yeah, for pension funds. Yeah, if that proved that he exists, but if he was not in that ad, I would say that it's possible that kid didn't even exist. I mean, they they can, you know, well, just like James Earl Ray, and, you know, was not the shooter of Martin Luther King, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald, Sirhan, the guy who's, you know, it just goes on and on and on. But that's my presentation.
Yeah.
And we thank
you for it.
And I can tell you all probably, you know, did this just to humor me, but I've done enough of these false flags and hoaxes to know that this is a complete and total rehearsed stage set. And
guys, so this is free speech. Yeah. You should be entitled to any opinion.
Support.
I think your opinion reflects an opinion of a lot of people. I think mostly probably the TDSers, but I think a lot of people share your same opinion. And no, you put in some effort to do that presentation, and you did it pretty well. I mean, you presented your case pretty well. I'm not persuaded. I don't think Ben or Ian is. But I know there's some viewers are agreeing with you. So, you know, that's just how things go. We all have our own perceptions, our own opinion. Yeah.
And you should be able to say it without being Alex Jones. I think that whole a billion for InfoWars is an absolute crime against someone who I think is a lunatic, but he should be able to speak.
You know? Mm-hmm. And to support Jeff on one point he made at the end about the fact that the kid Crooks appeared in the black, was it BlackRock or Blackwater ad?
BlackRock.
Is that they vet the people that are going to be in those commercials. They do backgrounds on them, psychological backgrounds. And that's where they look for their victims.
They don't want
somebody who's got a background of insanity that can be traced back to be in those commercials or pedophilia or anything like that. Because BlackRock, like Cargill, used to have the largest intelligence community in the world, larger than the CIA.
Cargill, the agribusiness company.
Right, the big agribusiness.
In Minneapolis, yeah. Minnesota.
And to add a little bit.
Everybody. That appeared publicly in their.
I don't think they background check students.
Yeah, background checks. That's definitely a point.
Carlo, what that tells me is the fact that obviously he was in contact with the deep state, and that to me makes it credible that he was an MK Ultra victim. Where they, you know, literally brainwash, you know, people to do like the Bourne identity to be,
that's,
you know,
funny, Yasha.
What was the great Luke Besson movie, Nikita?
The assassin girl.
And talking about MK Ultra, this is a point we made on the show. Ted Kaczynski was a victim of MKUltra. He was an undergraduate, a 19-year-old kid, a mathematician, brilliant mathematician. He was bullied for a full year without his knowledge. He was ridiculed.
That is confirmed, Kegel.
And made to feel insignificant for a full year. And I think that played very heavily into the murders he committed later on. So there is something to that.
Ben, I put a photo in the private chat if you want to.
Oh, you always do this to me with the private chat thing, and then it.
Hey, let me contextualize what we're talking about here, because I think there's three primary options regarding this spectacle, regarding the Trump assassination phenomenon. So either number one, you know, it was, as Jeff is suggesting, it was an inside job perpetrated by Trump. Number two, it was an attempt to assassinate Trump by, you know, one lone gunman, and there was severe incompetence by the security services. Or number three, the security services facilitated this lone gunman to assassinate Trump. I think these are the three possible understandings of this event. Okay, a fourth. Well, go ahead.
Give us a fourth.
The fourth one is that the deep state, meaning the city of London, Wall Street, NATO, the farmaments, you know, the pharmaceutical, that's the deep state, basically CIA intelligence. They decided to quit trying to destroy Trump, accept him, that he's going to be the next president. And because Biden was toast, and that this was a deep state operation to scare the bejesus out of Trump, to remind him that he can be killed at any minute. That's the
all right.
I'm just telling you.
What about the squib?
I have five and six.
Well, I'm just telling you. Well, you, Ian, you say there was a squib. You say there was a squib, and
well, you
and,
said there's a squib. Yeah. Why would he be scared of a squib and he put it on his own ear?
Yeah. I'm just saying. In that case, you have to believe that his ear was nicked, and it didn't bleed.
So his number four contradicts his presentation. He's just saying that's a possibility, but it doesn't go. Gotcha. It doesn't correspond with his presentation. You have five and six, Carlo.
Yeah, my wife from Rosalie, because she won't appear on camera. She thinks that people in the anti-Trump community of the Republicans wanted him dead, and that it was people like our vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party,
J.D. Vance.
And I can't even remember. I'm sorry. But those people, the people who were bad-mouthing him, set it up because he's an old man in the way of their being promoted within the party. Mm-hmm. But a more convincing six is Trump is worth far more dead than he is alive to the people that are backing him. He would be a cash cow as a martyr. And that's their arguments.
Whatever happens, number 99 is the most American episode so far of this show. That's for sure.
I would say my working hypothesis is that, you know, he was a lone gunman that got lucky and, you know, did not have, you know, was not being run by the intelligence services. But I'm open to that perspective. I'm liable to think that it was severe incompetence, but I don't close off the idea that perhaps he did have help from factions within, you know, the agencies. But I do kind of close myself off to any other interpretation. It's got to be one of those two, probably severe incompetence. But that's
I agree with you, Bill.
There was prior knowledge, because just like in 9/11, over a billion dollars was made on Wall Street because people had prior knowledge and they short sailed. Was it American or United that all the planes were American to United?
American, I think.
American. A bunch of big short sales were put in the day or two before 9/11, and they made $1 billion. In this case, so there was prior knowledge. In this case, there was a short sale on Trump's company, not as big, but still, if Trump had been killed, it would have tanked his company, and they shorted it. But unfortunately, it didn't work, and it's a company that's related to BlackRock and George Soros.
Yeah, no, that's a clue that suggests that there was, you know,
machination,
trying to kill him. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Ian, I'll bring back your photo. Do you want to?
Yes. So the first photo, I put up two photos. The first one, of course, is the Lee Harvey Oswald assassination.
Jack Ruby. The
assassin of JFK, who was himself shot. And you can kind of see the reactions of people. You can just see they're just standing. Even the sheriff. In the tan suit, in the Obama tan suit, he was copying Obama with that suit.
Because you do this to me in bloody private chat, I'll have to bring it in by a transition. This is
And then this is the aftermath of the Reagan attempted assassination. Also, you can kind of see again mixed reactions. today. That guy's, that guy's just hanging out there. He's just like,
that's who I'd be.
So it is complete. I mean, unless we're going to say every presidential assassination and attempted assassination was with crisis actors. I mean, it's normal for people to not necessarily run away from it. They can just freeze there and with a stupid look on their face, which is probably, which is what Ben said he would do, is honestly probably what I would do. Just,
Well, if you're sitting back there and you know, over 10 or 15 seconds, eight shots are fired and then it's done. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, it's not compelling that, because people didn't immediately head for the exits that it was staged like that. To me, I don't necessarily follow that line of thinking, but...
Just based on the picture, this might be a question right up your alley, Ian. Where did the Uzis go? I remember them from all the movies in the 90s. Where did Uzis go?
Well, Uzis were popular for a while. Submachine guns just kind of went out of fashion. Uzis were... Yeah. I mean, they're still
in
use.
All the cool kids had them back in the 80s.
Yes. Yes,
you know, the first American movies that came into Hungary, we saw Uzis everywhere.
Yeah, there's still, I think Steven Seagal movies still have them just because they're so cool and he wants to fight guys with cool guns with his fists.
Sorry for the sidetrack.
But yes.
I shot an Uzi once, ripped off about 20 or 30 rounds. It's a pretty cool gun.
Good on you.
So what was the context? You were, hopefully it was target practice, Jeff. Hopefully you weren't
target practice. Okay. No.
And not the deep state, right?
No, not the deep state. If we were out in the field and some guy had an Uzi, he said, "Hey, you want to shoot an Uzi?" I said, "Well, hell yeah." So he loaded up a clip and
Keggy, I will ask Jeff that, but I also agree he didn't do much, but I don't think that justifies or undermines anything that's been said here. I don't think he did much. I wouldn't vote him for the reasons of the working class in America. I wouldn't vote at all this year, probably. But I would vote for him from a European perspective.
Our viewer wants to argue with you that, Trump did good things for poor people. If you want to go down that rabbit hole, you're really going to make Carlo angry.
Well, he actually, there is, of course, the New York Times and the Washington Post and everybody buried it, and CNN and all that buried it. But if you look at the statistics, income for poor and working families actually went up during Trump's administration. Home ownership of minorities went up. And there were two or three other statistics that showed that, and it was probably due, I guess, maybe because of all the tariffs on China. I don't know. But there were the statistics that you would never see the light of day of, because everybody was trying to destroy Trump. And I saw those statistics a couple of 3 years ago, and I've got them someplace, but they were there.
We told you, Carlo.
And it did show it.
It's not a serious triggering. The housing thing went up because the Republicans went back to the old 2008, sell everybody a house and with a bubble on the end of their five-year mortgage or three-year mortgage. So when the bubble kicked in, they lose their house. And Blackstone would buy it up. The other thing is, in Kentucky, for example, Trump wanted to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. But people were willing to do it with the argument that it was Obama that brought it into being. Which may or may not have been true. I can't remember what president actually brought it to me. But they couldn't do it because it was so popular among the entire population of Kentucky. What they had to do was change the name of it and say they had brought it up. The Affordable Care Act in Kentucky has a different name now, but it's essentially exactly the same policy. So there's all kinds of nefarious things going on that the Republicans claim to approve, but really didn't approve.
So I'd like to make a point too about the upcoming Trump presidency, because I think it seems, you know, like unless they do actually kill him, that he will, you know, beat the Democrats because they're not doing too well, you know, Biden dropping out, Kamala coming in. But I think, you know, we have a very powerful Israel lobby in this country. We have a Zionist lobby that includes not just, you know, people who like Israel, but Christian Zionists and a lot of, you know, middle class people that are supporting Trump and Israel. And so what I kind of think might be happening with the Trump presidency is that we're going to see a refocus away from Ukraine, away from Russia, and onto Israel, Iran, and the Middle East. And I see Israel, the Israel lobby, really, really, really pushing Trump to initiate and get involved in a war against Iran and in the Middle East. The Middle East is also known as West Asia.
Right? West Asia.
West Asia. So I don't mean to be politically incorrect. But I just wanted to point that out. Like, I think that's probably what we're going to see happen. You know, Ukraine is going to die down. They're going to come to some kind of an arrangement there. But that does lead me into... Ben has a Zelensky video, which he's prompting.
I wanted to have like just 2 minutes of levity, which I promise, if you haven't seen it, you will enjoy. So just have a look at this. The new national anthem of Bandera Stan of Ukraine has dropped, and it's perfect. It's catchy.
I am a president of big, great country. I am in trouble. Can you help? Please, I have already closed the boundaries, grabbing men right on the streets. My generals, they have a plan. It will work, I know for sure. Americans, I don't need your men. I just need your money and planes, money and tanks. Give me money. Thank you, thanks. We will win, I know for sure. Give me money, more and more. So I put all my men in your cold tanks, and we retake Crimea and bought Dnipro banks. We call this Contornasto, a born to offensive. My warriors, they will show no mercy. Money and planes, money and tanks. Give me money, thank you, thanks. We will win, I know for sure. Give me money, more and more. Well, something went wrong. Technical difficulties, it's not a problem. Not a tragedy, let's call it a reversal offensive. I still need money, planes and tanks, yeah. Money and planes, money and tanks. Give me money, thank you, thanks. We will win, I know for sure. Give me money, more. Money and planes, money and tanks. Give me money, thank you, thanks. We will win, I know for sure.
That's a very catchy hook.
Sorry?
It's a very catchy hook. It's going to be stuck
so.
In my head.
Me too. Every time I see Zelensky, it's going to be money and tanks, money and planes.
Give me money, more and more. Give me money, more and more. I am a president of a great country. I am in trouble, can you help? Please, Americans, I don't need your men. I just need your
money. Is that a Hungarian production?
I don't know. It's from the Lord Bebo Twitter account. Likely a Russian product, I'd say, but I don't know for sure. 2 years of extremely good memes, and this is just the king of them, I think.
By the way, Carlo, I want to tell you, Carlo, Ben and I, we have socialized medicine. We've got socialist medicine in Europe, so it's nice.
Yeah,
I don't know about Russia, but. We've got great medical care here in France.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you guys, I mean, I gave my spiel. Billy Bob thinks that it was a lone shooter. What do Ben, Ian, and Carla think happened on July 13th? I'm just curious.
I'll start. I'll definitely think that it's established now that there was gross incompetence either way. What I'm torn between is a lone shooter. I've heard it too many times in my life. I'm more leaning towards somehow groomed, somehow organized this guy who doesn't have a history, who was bullied in high school. It's a special mold that what we call the deep state can use for such things. So I definitely think there were bullets that killed a man. So I'm still on that part of the fence. Carlo?
Well, you know, you showed two assassinations, basically the Ruby shooting of Oswald. You went back to the Kennedy assassination. First of all, I think that was a plot, obviously, by the deep state. Alan Dulles was intimately involved. Actors of the, you know, particular players in the mafia were involved, so on and so forth. With the Hinckley assassination attempt on Reagan, I think that was more like what we saw just a couple of weeks ago with Trump. I think it was a failed assassination attempt by a lone guy who just basically got it in his head. My theory is, and I'll repeat it again, is that the kid was bullied all of his life. I don't care what the fucking principal says. He wants to fucking keep his job, but or whatever, keep his reputation. But if the kid was bullied all his life, and here comes one of the biggest bullies in the whole fucking world coming to his hometown, that might have been too much for him. I think it was just a failed attempt on his part alone. I mean, I hear stupid stuff from people I think that are smart, like Binney. William Binney? Anyway.
Yeah, Bill Binney, yeah.
Bill Binney, right. Anyway.
The NSA tech guy.
Right, thank you very much. And he's saying, look, what was he saying now? He was saying, oh, right, how could this kid have contact with all these people outside the country and encrypted contact? Well, Binney, have you heard of Facebook? Binney, have you heard of the World Wide Web? Have you heard of anything, you dumb shit? All you have to do is be a kind of a geek who likes encrypted messages and send it somewhere to another geek around the world, anywhere in the world.
Using three phones.
If I could do encrypted. So I'm hearing stupid shit from all these people. I generally, and it boils down to this desire to support Trump when it's not a binary situation. Like Ben said, don't vote for anybody. I mean,
I wouldn't if I were an American.
Yeah, neither would
this year. I wouldn't
vote for any of those bastards. None of them. I mean, look at Jimmy Dore. He goes on. The government is criminal. Whatever anybody in the government says is criminal. They're liars. And then this ninny Johnson, Michael Johnson, Mike Johnson, who heads the House Republicans. He makes this statement about ID cards for voting, and Jimmy Dore goes, oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Jimmy, you just said everybody in government lies, and then you're accepting this fucking liar statement at face value. You haven't even looked into it. You're a fucking nitty.
Please don't die on stream.
That's it. No emotion. I'm not bringing any emotion to these things.
So, Ian, what do you think happened?
We haven't heard from you.
Ian. You're not muted, but we can't hear anything from your end.
Oh, crap. Well, that was my fault. My microphone went to sleep. But anyways, I mean,
and I'm
there's just no that. It's just there's no evidence for there being more than one person involved. That's the issue right now, which is, I mean, we just don't have anything to go off of right now. And it's true because, I mean, just the media has been hysterical. I mean, who wouldn't shoot Hitler if given the opportunity? And that's what we've been being told since, I guess, 2015.
Yeah.
Even true. Before. Yeah. I mean, it's been nine years.
That's That's an important aspect, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I do want to focus on that because I think it really could possibly, plausibly, probably have motivated this kid, you know, really believing all the evil things that the media said about Trump. Trump is a threat to democracy. Trump will be a dictator. Trump will end democracy as we know it in this country. You know, if you're a 20-year-old and you are naive and impressionable and believe that, and you don't have a lot to lose, and you think to yourself, I'm going to be the hero, I think that could totally play into the motivation. And so I think the media has a lot of culpability. If that was what happened, I think the media definitely is largely responsible for creating this TDS because it's a media-induced TDS, and it's quite possibly could have caused this assassination attempt.
Well, the thing is, can you imagine if there was an assassination attempt on? I guess no one cares if Biden lives or dies at this point, but can you imagine if there was an assassination attempt on Kamala Harris? Can you imagine? There would be literally thousands of journalists scrutinizing every detail of that person's life. We would hear nothing else.
Another great point.
24, another excellent point. But they barely talked about this kid. It was very much, it reminded me of the Las Vegas shooter. Actually, how they talked about, it was like one of the biggest mass shootings in American history. Right. They talked about it for 2 days and then it just dropped it out. We never found out anything about this guy's motive, about why he did it, what was the chain of events leading up to the shooting. They just talked about it for the minimum amount of time they could and then just moved on to other things.
Memory hold it. Absolutely. Yes.
Also, there's dozens of assassination attempts on high officials in this country. It's just that the security the security stops them all, either at the early stages or middle stages, but they stop them. Yes, they're not, you're not going to know about them. I'm not going to know about them.
Why wouldn't we know about them? Why would they not?
Well, there was Ian, there was actually an article I reposted on Substack, and this was this was actually the ninth attempt to assassinate Trump. Most of them, Carlo was saying, they catch him, and there were actually some where a guy tried to, drive a forklift,
Why so negligent then?
Yeah, I think,
like, if they've been trying to kill him, then that suggests, factions within the establishment were facilitating the attempt.
But don't forget, Trump has his own security detail. And back when he ran in 2016, he did not trust the Secret Service, and he has the money to have his own security service, and which, in my opinion, those guys that were in the movie were his security service guys. And he doesn't trust the Secret Service, even though he lied through his teeth and said he loves them. He has never trusted the Secret Service because he knows what happened to John F. Kennedy and Robert F.
Would
Kennedy.
You trust them? I wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
So they allowed JFK and RFK to be assassinated. So and I think he knows that.
The Secret Service director resigned, right?
Yeah.
And yes, she did.
Didn't talk about what happened. She didn't talk about any facts of the attempt. And then the director of the FBI also recently testified and didn't say anything.
Yeah, apparently all the audio, the communications on radio between the Secret Service agent, that wasn't recorded all day. So there's a lot of things that don't make sense and we'll never fucking know, just like with JFK and RFK.
I have just the tiniest anecdote about the Secret Service. Go. I have a cousin, and she married a Secret Service agent. And when I was 12 years old, we were over her parents' house, and for New Year's Day, everybody ate. Big, all Italian, tons of Italians. Well, I was 12 years old. And I was a catcher on my baseball team for the CYO. So I brought my baseball mitt. Joe Alfano was there, and he got looked at by a minor league team. He was a good catcher himself. So he would play catch with me. and teach me things about how to catch. And so, but my cousin's husband, who was in the Secret Service, he wanted to crack at me because he pitched in college. And he actually still coaches junior college teams. He's a good ball player. But he was like in his 20s, like 23, 24, and in college. And I'm a 12-year-old. And so he's throwing to me, and he's like throwing hard, throwing really hard. You know, I would say at least in the mid-80s or maybe the high 80s. And I'm 12. So he's throwing so hard that my cousin went up to him and said, cut it out. Told him to stop it because she could see how there was a kind of sadism involved in it. And I never really got along with him much. And he never, you know, he was never very friendly to me. And
he fit the profile for a great Secret Service.
It was an insight. I got an insight into how these fuckers work, how cops work. You know, all the cops I ran into when I was filming demonstrations, how they work. You know, I got insight into that. And one of my favorite things to do at demonstrations was to go up to the CIA guys and put my camera right in their face. Go right up to the FBI guys, put my camera right in their face. Go up to the INS guys and put my camera right in their face. And there were a lot of INS guys there looking for because I was doing Central America, work for Central America. They were there looking for people that didn't have papers to be there, you know? And that was, I have to admit, that little piece of me, that was the most fun about filming demonstrations, making those guys really uncomfortable, seeing them turn and walk away from you. You know, I got my little fake press badge on, and they didn't feel they could do anything to the press, even though it was a fake. It's a nice fake. We made, you know, we got into the National Press Building with them. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's before they had detectors, metal detectors.
Yeah, scanners to see if it was a fake badge or real badge. So any final thoughts, though, before we convene our 99th episode? I just want to thank definitely the panel, Ben, Ian, and Carlo, for 99 episodes. We do about two a week, give or take, but we average about two a week. So this Tuesday will be our 100th episode.
How Jeff felt about it.
I wanted to thank Jeff first and foremost for the presentation. I'm really glad that we listened through it. And I'd like to pick up one point, which was kind of minor in there, that during the Trump era, I think things got slightly better because of the trade war with China. And I've never heard that anywhere. It's really a fair point, because if you have industrial real competition, that can actually revitalize a country. So my hope, an American, I couldn't vote for this absolute Zionist asshole. This is what he tweeted earlier on today. But as a European, I'm still going to make this point that people in Europe, these gutless plastic leaders, you know, the Borrells, the Scholzes, these guys, they're terrified of Trump, because not only will he likely leave them alone to fend for themselves in security terms, but he might launch a trade war against Europe, which also is, I mean, the Russians for 2 years have been thanking the West for the sanctions because it revitalized their economy. So in such a selfish way, from Europe, non-US voting, non-citizen, I still support Trump against the embodiment of death, in my opinion, which is the carcass Biden. Okay, that's all. That's my perspective on this.
And I want to point out, too, on that point about jobs, and actually this week, I haven't seen it much in the national news, but in my town I used to live in Iowa, John Deere is
tractor maker,
doing
right?
Tractor maker is doing mass layoffs, and they're justifying it by saying, oh, there was a decrease in sales this week or this year. Everybody I've talked to says that's BS. The real reason is because they're building a plant in Mexico. And they're laying off. They did mass layoffs. There's been four suicides so far. I mean, because they're not laying off, you know, the kids who just started work. They're laying off the guys with 20, 20 something, you know, really close to retirement. Those are the people they're laying off, and they're doing it because they want to build a plant in Mexico. You know, they want to be, you know, the face of America. They want to be that all American brand, but they don't want to pay American wages. They want to pay Mexican wages. So they're building their plant in Mexico and firing American workers. So that's American. That's the American business sector for you. That's American.
It's called capitalism.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that they can start this conversation about, for instance, outsourcing Mexico, never mentioning who did NAFTA. It's just so annoying to me. One of those things. But Jeff, the last word is yours. And thank you again for the presentation.
No, thank you all very much. Thank you very much. I always enjoy being with you guys. And thank you for having me on again. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm going to get it as soon as I get a copy of it. I'll get it transcribed and I'll blast it out and promote your guys' work. I've got to find some way to get a link from Billy Bob when you do your show so I can put him in the Substack that goes out to 11,000 people. I don't use Facebook, and so I use it to post my work, and that's all. So if I could get a link from Billy Bob, you know, when there's going to be a show, I will.
That's going to cause more anxiety. I kind of like the fact that we don't have a big audience. It makes me less. But
That's all I have to say. Thank you. I'm going to go downstairs and have a really nice French meal, and I'm going to have a really nice half bottle of nice French Cabernet Sauvignon wine, and then we're going to have, after that, Ben can relate to this, and then after that, we're going to have some wonderful Norman cheese, Camembert,
Pont-l'Évêque,
Livero.
Also, you should be grateful you're not in Paris at this moment, which looks utter chaos to me, from anything I can see. But yeah, I want you to think, and everybody else to think, about money and planes, money and thanks. Thank you. Thanks.
All right, guys, we will see you on Tuesday. Thank you very much. See you
later. Have a good weekend. Bye, everyone. Bye.